A lot of us are not very good at taking advice from the living. There's many times where you're seeking guidance, seeking some sort of a piece of advice from a friend, a family member. You get it. It may be really good advice. But sometimes, or maybe a lot of times, it's like, thank you. That's great. I know I should do that. But you don't. It's very common. It seems to be human nature. But what happens when you have a little bit of advice, a little bit of intervention from the spirit world? Does that weigh heavier than someone you know and trust and love? If it's someone you have no idea who it is, but appears out of thin air and seems to know a hell of a lot about you, even more than the living, is that the person you trust? It's a very interesting concept, but sometimes I think advice from the dead, intervention from the dead, or spirit of some sort, can sometimes be more powerful than that of living. Got some interesting stories on today's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. In fact, one about just that. In a time of crisis, a young man is visited by a figure from another place, what he also believes may be his unborn daughter. Yeah, coming to give a message to keep living. Also, can people be haunted, or are some people just more sensitive and able to see the other side, the spirit realm that's around all of us? It's just only certain people are able to hone in on that. Something we're going to talk about as we hear someone's life story of being haunted. Good stories today. It's EPP bonus episode number 293 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name is Tony Brisky. Stay with us. Intervention. Sometimes there is another power, another being, another entity, another something that intervenes into our lives when we need it most, when we may not even know we need it or want it in some cases. And sometimes that intervention can be life-saving. It obviously it's there to help and to change a course, but sometimes it can completely change the course of a life. In our next story, we hear about a young man going through many, many emotions, all the way to the point of almost deciding to take his own life, and then something intervenes. Something, someone with a message, someone that may be very, very close to him, who he doesn't even know, who may not even exist yet. It's quite an amazing story of intervention that saved a life. Take a listen. Another story is going to sound like something out of a comic book or even an episode of Supernatural, but for the longest time, pop culture was my only frame of reference in understanding what was happening. There are aspects to the story, I'll admit, sound completely strange, no matter your beliefs, as well as parts that may be troubling for some listeners. I assure you in the sincerest ways possible that every bit is true, and I've been able to make peace with everything that has happened. For as long as I can remember, the supernatural and I were practically synonymous. So much so, my best friend jokingly calls me Specialist of the Strange, a title I now use for my research operation. I guess in a way, you can say I was a psychic kid. Because of my age at the time, I barely have any recollection of stories my family tells to this day about how I could tell who was on the other end of the phone before it even rang. Seemingly see things others couldn't, and even predict the future. Based on the number of times the story was told, the one incident that spooked everybody the most was how I knew my stepmother was pregnant with my half-sister before any signs of pregnancy even appeared, and was confirmed the very next day by the doctors. These things came naturally for me for reasons I didn't know at the time, and I honestly thought everybody could do them too. It didn't start to hit until about the age of 9 when weird apparitions would start appearing around me, even popping up in photos taken by my grandmother during school Christmas programs. A couple of years later, during a trip to the old Idaho State Penitentiary, I even witnessed a phantom execution take the place of a man I would identify later as Raymond Snowden or Idaho's Jack the Ripper. I didn't even come to that conclusion until a couple of years later when the show Ghost Adventures came through town to film for their first season. When that happened was when I finally had enough courage to take on a public paranormal research operation, leading me to take on nearly everything from UFOs, ghosts, to the Loch Ness Monster, and everything in between. But to this day, there is one incident that still confuses me to my very core. The circumstances behind my upbringing in the paranormal almost seem like a predetermined fate by the hand of some higher power. Even though I moved around a lot as a kid, I primarily grew up in a small town in Idaho where my maternal grandparents lived and practically raised me. Almost like a cliche, this town has its fair share of ghost stories due to historical connections to nearby mining towns. I'm finding information about it, though it's a challenge because this town was almost destroyed in a large fire. But regardless, it still sets the stage for something I hope to never forget. Like I said before, I was practically raised by my maternal grandparents. This was because of my being separated from my father's side of my family due to several abusive situations, and my mother being single and working a lot as a dispatcher for local law enforcement. As one can imagine, this creates an interesting dynamic for a kid. The people of this town have a reputation for treating others like garbage if they did not belong to the local church, which I did not, despite having gone to a Catholic preschool in another town. I was also a bigger kid, having already grown to 5'9" by the time I was 11 and already shaving. There was nothing wrong with me, that's just how my genetics came together. But people did see it as a problem because I had absolutely no interest in sports. So being the overgrown boy with weird interests who went home to a situation known to raise potential killers, it was a lot to handle. It was enough to lead me to attempt to take my own life by hanging myself, but it was now I felt my life starting to slip away that something intervened that I could not explain. Suddenly a bright blue flash of light appeared out of nowhere, completely overloading my senses. By the time I pulled myself together, I'd found that I was only able to move my eyes around. I tried my best to study my surroundings, only to find that I was seemingly floating in this blue void. The best way I know to describe it is like I was deep underwater, floating deep enough under the surface that no sound could penetrate. Suddenly, the image of a man appeared in front of me, standing at least 20 feet away. At first, he was too blurry to make out any significant details until he walked closer to me. I still couldn't make out any facial details, but from what I could tell is that the man wore a robe, had roughly shoulder-length brown hair, and seemed to emanate this vibe that told me he was concerned about my well-being, but understood what I was going through. The man stopped when he was about 5 feet away and spoke, "Dakota." He said, "It's okay. Someone is here to see you." The man stepped aside to reveal a beautiful little girl that was hiding behind him. She was crying, seemingly trying to hide the fact that she had been bawling her eyes out. My best guess was that she was about 5, maybe 6 years old. She had brunette hair and these big brown eyes. The more I looked at her, the more my heart began to break. As despite having never seen her before, it felt like I was hurting one of the most important people in my life. The little girl ran towards me, somehow breaking free of whatever invisible constraints which left me practically paralyzed. I could feel her body slam into mine as I impulsively wrapped my arms around her and held her tight as I fell to my knees. I could feel her tears drenching my chest. Her body shakes every time she took a breath, the softness of her hair as I brushed it with my hand to comfort her. We just stayed that way for what felt like days, until the little girl wiggles herself free just enough for her to look me in the eyes. Even as I'm writing this now, I find my vision blurring and my heart dropping as much as it did at that moment. Both sensations that would only be interrupted by the words she spoke soon after. 5 little words that still scream to me at this very day, whenever my mind starts to slip into the darkness that brought me to that moment. "Daddy, please don't do it." I was too dumbfounded by what the child had said to form a proper response, which I figured she had anticipated as she kissed me on the cheek and caused the vision to end. Feeling as if I was committing the ultimate betrayal to my own flesh and blood, I ripped the belt off my neck and ran out of my room. My pulse slowly dropped as I realized that it was almost midnight, and the only other people in the house were asleep. Considering that it was night, I stayed with my grandparents. I was somewhat shocked. I did not wake up with the family dogs. As I went to bed, it was obvious my experience still haunted my mind, leaving me no other choice but to pick apart the vision in order to try making sense of it. What was it that took place? Who was the man? Where did I go? More importantly, was that little girl in fact my daughter? And right there, as we're going to pause our preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 293 of Real Ghost Stories Online, if you'd like to hear the rest of the story, please support our program. Help keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. We call them EPPs. Go to ghostpodcast.com, sign up to be an EPP, and you'll get yourself access to all of our bonus episodes, as well as advanced episodes of the program. We release them every single week with a whole lot of other extras as well. Ghostpodcast.com to do all of that, or patreon.com/realghoststories. Please help support our program and keep us on the air. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.